This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everybody, what's going on? It is your boy James Stewart. Man, I'm coming home. That is a good song. And if you're a fan of mine, you've been a lot of Supercrossers, you kind of know that's a very popular song that I used to have for opening ceremonies. So anyways, I'm James Stewart here with a couple buddies of mine, and we're going to light it up for you. So welcome to Bubba's World. I want to introduce a friend of mine. One I've known for a long time. I probably consider him my best friend, right? Like, I mean, we're pretty close, 10 plus years. I met him over in Answer Racing and used to be my guy there and brought him over to Seven. And he's basically the guy, me and him basically created Seven. So I want to introduce my best friend. I guess you call him my best friend, Roger Larson.
Good to be here. Good to be here. Feels like a long time coming. I think we've been talking about this for months.
Yeah, no, we've been talking about this for, I've been talking about this for probably like a year, ever since we did the other video. So the other person I want to introduce is the guy, if you're a fan of mine, again, the guy that made those recaps happen. Cole, what's your last name?
Cole Beach.
That guy right there used to be the fans of the recaps and the neck burns and all that. So all three of us here, we're creating a new show, podcast. And I'm sorry if this just kind of seems like a little odd, but beautiful studio we in here. And I think we're going to try to have some fun with this thing. So introduce these guys and let's get this thing started, Rod.
So he texted me like, what was it back? Me and Cole went back and looked at our conversation. It was back in like beginning of May, right before Supercross was ending.
Yeah, I think it was before that, but yeah, we can go over that.
He says, what about a podcast?
You're like, what?
No, I didn't even say what. I left you on read for a little bit.
Oh, so dirty. Like, I mean, at least the truth comes out. Like, red I'm button. Like,
podcast. I'm like, everybody's doing a podcast. Yeah. My 13-year-old neighbor down the street's doing a podcast. I'm like, we can do something better than that.
Talking to you kind of remind me like when I did Instagram. Remember, like, I was really the first person back in, I don't know, Instagram. Like, it was 9, 10, or whatever it was. I mean, people was like, what? So when I hit you up, I thought you'd be stoked on it. You were like, yeah, no, I mean, and it was crickets for like a month. And I'm like, dude, what's up? And you're like, I ain't really like it. And I'm like, dude, you could have just told me that. Like, we're boys and
But then we started talking about it. The more, a couple conversations, we came up with the name, came up with this, and then it started to kind of make some sense.
I mean, I got to give you credit. I mean, the studio is nice. I mean, we finally made this thing happen. What is it? Thanksgiving now, Christmas time, but we got it started. The main point is, look at me. It's Bubba's World, and I got you here, so.
Yeah, a lot of work went into this place. Roger and I spent good 3 days building it and constantly going over every single little detail that could go wrong and facing a lot of adversity, but it's cool to finally be here.
Yeah, no, it's good. I basically kicked my brother out of this place. Like we had the compound right here. So
this was a
it's literally coming room? Home.
I guess.
I mean, it's where I used to do all my studying in this theater room, sleep right on the bedroom next door. Like I wake up, Eldon, Pablo, Johnny, whoever it was, I was coming out to see in the morning. I used to hate they were here. So it brings back a lot of memories. So it's literally the song's fitting is coming home. So, and it's nice to be back, you know, having some insight and talking about why we're doing it. The real reason why I wanted to do it is because, you know, working and training the last couple of years, and, you know, I think just being a father, everything's just kind of came into point where I actually enjoy the racing again. And I found a different way to enjoy it where it's not like I got to get on a motorcycle or I'm competing. It's knowledge. So that was the real reason. And working with Cole and Phil with these recaps, I enjoy doing that. So that's kind of where the podcast came up. So I thought my guy would be like, yeah, let's get into it. But I mean, he's busy, you know, taking care of the company. So I can't be too mad at him. But
finally, suntan, next on fire.
I mean, how can you not like that?
That is pretty good.
I mean, how can you not like that?
That one gained a lot of traction. People like that line.
Well, I think we're going to have to create some more. So I got some good ones coming up. So hopefully we'll get it going.
When Roger first kind of came to me with the idea at Salt Lake City, I understood it as like we were almost going to vlog you. Like I understood it like we were just going to follow you around and kind of shoot your day-to-day life. I'm like, oh, that would be cool. Like, everyone's kind of doing the vlog thing, but people are definitely going to want to see what a day in the life of James is.
Well, that just tells me right there that you were way off from the idea of vlogging. What is that actually?
Well, in your defense, it probably did start off like that. It's changed.
It never started off like that. Never.
It's had a different, never. A million different things.
It was this. It was a podcast. It was me talking about life, everything. Bubba's War, everything in the world. Vlogging.
Actually, that's where it kind of came from. When we were on the phone, and you said, you were telling me about going to pick up your kids from school. From school. and the thought of James sitting in line to pick up the kids at school, I thought it was funny.
I'm not in the minivan, but close enough.
It's close.
It's close. Yeah, it's beat up. Got a light hanging off of it. Yeah, but I mean, it's whatever. It's French fries in the back. Hey, that Captain Crunch.
That light's been hanging off since Daytona Supercross this year.
I've always been hanging off way before
that's
that.
Right. That's where I know.
Tampa.
Yeah. Well, what's the story behind that?
Yeah, we'll lead that to.
Yeah, I don't even know that story.
Two. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of.
A bad driver?
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm not. The car drives itself. So it says. But, you know, hey, you know, woke up and whatever. That's another story. We'll lead that for. We're not talking about. We're talking about this right here. So, yeah, it's been good. But vlogging, I mean, the funny thing is, you can vlog me all day, whatever that means. It would literally be going from my house either to school, which is like 2 miles, or the golf course. But it's kind of crazy how much I have to fill my car up with gas, even though I drive like 10 miles a day. Yeah, it's
got a lead foot.
Maybe I got like a leak or something, gas leak, because it doesn't make sense. But I got like 20,000 miles on that thing. It's probably more miles on that car driving in my little bubble. 5 mile square than it did when I was coming here.
I believe it.
Yeah. I don't know.
Miles on the minivan.
It's not a minivan.
It's close.
It is.
What is it?
I mean, it's a Lincoln, which is a Ford. The minivans these days, I would get one. I've been trying to get the old lady to get one. You know, like, I'm like, dude, you should get a minivan. There's flat screen TVs. They're nicer. Like,
I rented one to come here. I was renting a minivan.
You got TVs?
I don't know. I mean,
TVs come in the headrest like stock, but they got internet. The car drives itself. It's the nicest SUV I've ever had.
And you've had a few.
I had the Mercedes. I had it all. So, anyways, it's nice. It's nice. It's full of golf clubs.
But you don't think like us following you around with a video camera would be interesting?
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm boring these days.
People would watch it.
I mean, I hope they watch Bubba's World. That's what this is better off. You're gonna get more stuff than me going like beep beep beep. Like, come on, lady, get in. But it is. I'm not gonna lie. It is nice going to the school. I enjoy doing that. You know, it's just always beautiful outside.
I would like to see that.
Yeah, it is nice. It is nice. I haven't even pulled up in the 96 Impala. Yeah, they can't. I'm letting them at least get the first grade before I do that.
He's got like a. All orange.
Oh, yeah. It's ghetto fabulous. A
little bit of gold. Big. It's not quite a donk, but it's kind of a donk. It's a 96 Impala.
Yeah. I mean, it's book 'em. It's clean. It's clean. It's my pride and joy. But, you know, the Ferraris and all that stuff, like, I don't even care anymore. You get old. Like, age comes four doors for me. So
stock wheels.
Stalk. I even got my windows tinted. I've had this car for 3 years.
No.
Yeah. I haven't gotten it. I let everybody see me.
There's so many, so many sets of wheels in that garage out there.
Yeah. You know, you got a lot of stuff when you come, when I come back over here. Well, first off, the gate codes change. I'm like, damn, I'm like, all right,
you
whatever.
You don't have a key. You don't have the code.
No, I mean, there's a Publix built, Walmart. Haines City's getting like huge. And then you're like, man, I got this. Oh, I got this bike. Oh, I got this. Oh, hey, mom. Hey, dad. But yeah, like when I moved away from here, I moved away from here. Like that was kind of it. So it's like, I used to tell people all the time, they're like, oh, you moved from the compound. It's awesome. Would you live at like
Kiko's? We had the same conversation. Yeah. I mean, what,
would you live in the office?
We had the same conversation. Yeah.
So, I mean, I had to move. It was a perfect separation. And again, when I come here, it brings back good, bad memories. It brings it back all. So, you know,
is that a little gas station right down the road, the same one that you drove up to in the old TV show?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely black owned around here. I'd say that it's everything. Nothing's
sketchy.
Yeah. It is sketchy. I mean, you see the police there, but now it's became like a spot. I wouldn't even say like it's a legendary spot, but I mean, yeah. They making some bank because they've been here since I was here when we moved back here and when I was like 12 years old. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That gas station's been there.
I mean, they sell it all there.
Yeah. I think I've only been in that thing like 5 times.
I've been there a couple.
Yeah. I was kind of scared.
But if I remember right during that episode, like they like worshiped you in there. Like, weren't they all like, oh, what up, James? How's it going?
Yeah, well, they knew somebody lived down the street, but they never knew who it was. My dad goes in there all the time. But yeah, I wasn't going in there, man. I was like, I might not come out. I mean, I've seen that. And the funny thing was, that was the time that I got actually pulled over in with the Ferrari, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like I literally got pulled over that day. I didn't think I was speeding, but I got pulled over. And when I said cut the cameras off, I actually meant cut the cameras off. And yeah, no, they were cool. I mean, my people, we haven't had any incidents down here. I mean, we've had helicopters. We had this place shut down the street, but I mean, they respect. They've been respected. I haven't had anybody jump the fence and try to hit the quad yet.
I hope not.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's funny. I was golfing, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, and one of the guys, he was like, oh, yeah, my buddy said that he sees you riding in the Orange Grove all the time. And I'm like, what? And he's like, oh, yeah. He tells all the time, like, oh, yeah, you used to get in trouble for riding in the Orange Groves. And I was like, so he meant to say he's seen a black person in the Orange Grove on a motorcycle. And he just claimed that it happened to be me. And he just started laughing. I'm like, no, I've never been in Orange Grove on a motorcycle. So,
but there's plenty of them here.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyways. So, yeah, this is, again, back to what we started. This is why I wanted to create the podcast or whatever. You know, those recaps got everything fueling and just being back in the races. So I think it should be good. Like it. You know, a lot of interesting things going on in the world of, you know, with COVID and all that stuff going on. I can't imagine like how different it would be if I was these guys like training. I mean, you think about trying not to get sick and, you know, the unknown vaccines, no vaccines. And it became like now, like, are you vaccinated? It's like, are you like a Democrat, Republican? It's crazy.
Yeah.
But like for these guys, I mean, you do all this work and if you get sick, it's like, it's devastating and nobody really knows the long-term effects. So I can't imagine, you know, how different life would have been, you know, back when I was racing, you know, dealing with this stuff, but
even getting sick, that was always one of your big concerns. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean,
you were the king of always having gloves, autograph signings.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people always thought, you know, that's the one thing I did when COVID happened and people had to separate and you was no shaking hands, which is still like now when people shake my hand, I'm like, dude, what you doing?
Yep.
I would have loved that back in the day because I was like that. And it wasn't to be rude, which people thought I was, but seen people literally come out to porta potty and like try to shake my hand. Like, man,
just high five.
Yeah. And
like, bro.
And every year it was like clockwork. Every single year. By Anaheim 2, I was sick. Yeah. You go to, haven't seen everybody at Christmas. Oh, how you doing? Hugs, shaking hands at the press conference. 2 weeks later, you're sick. And I mean, it was like clockwork. So I just tried. You know, try to just keep, I call them tippers. Tippers. You come out the bathroom, like, yeah. So them tippers, they come up there and it ain't the tip I want. So,
no.
I just try to pound it, whatever. So with COVID and stuff, it's nice having that, you know, mask And for me, ironically enough, wearing a mask is like wearing a helmet. And I used to always say this, like, used to be nervous, uncomfortable, but I put on my helmet. It was like my Iron Man shield. Or putting on a mask, like, it's kind of the same thing for me. So it's kind of nice. It's kind of nice. And so, yeah. Anyways, it's that time.
It's that time.
So you were at Mineola's this week, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just got back. Came down here last night.
Yeah.
Man, it's busy week.
It's crazy. Like, all the amateur races are live. I mean, I watched it on YouTube. You can watch every single moto every single day. I mean, they got the my race. You got that on, I think it's Racer TV or something like that, or whatever. Yep. It's live stream. Loretta's is that way. I mean, they're more live than motocross is. So you
could sit at home and you probably got a pretty good understanding of what went on.
Yeah, I mean, having two kids running around, and we didn't even have a Thanksgiving. It's the first year. First year in 20 years probably that I didn't get to spend Thanksgiving with my family. And yeah, they were sick. And unfortunately, like the last, I think it was like 4th of July, my aunt, her mother came here, got sick and died like on there. So, I mean, like literally, but she was older. She had like, you know, some ailing, you know, from COVID.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she got sick. And not to say that she caught it from here, but it was like a week later, she was like gone. So I think that kind of woke everybody up. So when my kids got like sick, even though we did the test, you know, we just decided best off.
Stay home.
You know, especially, you know, my parents, you know, Big J, they don't call him Big for no reason. You know, they call me Little J for a reason. So, you know, I just thought it was better to just stay home. But they were sick. They were wild, blowing nose, all that. And then my nanny, she got sick on there, and she was vaccinated. Her whole family's vaccinated. She's fine. She lost the taste and all that. But she said her husband and kid are bad on there. So she hasn't been there for, I don't know, like a week and a half now. So yeah, it's just COVID's going around like everywhere. So, and now they got another version of it. So yeah, it's like gas coming in. You got new models of it. Like, you know, this, we're in the O. I think we skipped a couple letters, but you know, they're going to be like the Hurricanes. You're going to get into the Alphas and
Triumph's coming.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, I mean, we got a full loaded gate.
Did you guys ever get it?
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe like when, before it, COVID became COVID.
I got sick coming home when we went to Tampa.
I got sick of a lot of people. I don't know if I got that. I always kept my taste, but at one time, yeah, it was Tampa. Yeah, that's around.
But it was still like,
it was before really, it actually happened. Yeah, because there were really still fans. Here. Yeah, we were still tipping, shaking hands and stuff. Yeah, I mean, that's when I had it. So a lot of people I know, you know, got it. I was talking to one of my friends at the golf course. His friend got it, and he was at the buffet at golf course, hanging out, and his family got it. They took the test. His kids did, wife did, but he won't. You know, he says he feels fine, but his kids like sick. And I'm like, that's just kind of ignorant. And I always feel like a little disrespectful, because with everything going on, like, you know, it's back in the day. You're like, you're on this side, that side. If you got money, you don't got money. There's things in life that you couldn't actually do that another person can't do. With COVID, like, it doesn't discriminate. It hates everybody equally, and we all in it. So I just think like it is the one time like you got to look out for everybody. It's not just like, you know, how you feel. It's what you do in life actually can affect somebody else. And that's how I kind of see it. So yeah, you kind of rubbed me the wrong way when he did that. But I mean, still, I normally would say his prerogative, you know, is whatever that priority, right?
Priority?
No.
Prerogative?
Prerogative. Yeah. Close, but that's not the way it is. You got to live life by what you would do. Treat your neighbor as thou would treat himself, right? Well, that's how COVID, and that's how I look at it. So,
all right. So back to Mineola's. Kind of, what did you see while you're watching?
Yeah, man, I saw these kids are good. There's a lot of good kids on there. There's a lot. It's, you know, back in the day, like it was like Team Green. And then what was the Yamaha when they had a, it wasn't Team Green and then Yamaha, but they kind of had their own, you know, it was a name for it. And Suzuki was kind of around. Honda didn't really have the biggest present. But like now, I mean, you got factory B rodders. I mean, shoot, I don't even know if it's factory, like, you know, see, I mean, 80 rodders, I don't know, like on there. But it's crazy how like now you actually got factory bikes at these races. And I don't know, it's just different. But yeah, it just seems like kind of like the Supercross is like there's more, wouldn't say there's one guy or two guys that's just better than everybody else. There's like 10 good guys. Eight of them probably ride the same, like the same speed. And you might have one guy that's a little bit faster, one or two, that could kind of come up. They get a bad start, maybe come up to like fifth. But otherwise, I mean, you got just a group of guys. But yeah, I checked out Minios. I didn't watch it. This is probably the first amateur race I didn't watch like I normally watch them. But yeah, it just seemed like there was a bunch of like good kids. I mean, Deegan's kid. What's the other kid that's on the Yamaha? It seems like there's Romano. Like four or five Yamaha kids.
Nick Romano.
Yeah, but there's another one. There's
LeBlanc.
Gavin. You know, I know Kitchen and he went pro.
Yeah.
Gavin Towers is on the NSA team. He's also in the A class.
NSA, isn't that like the airport thing?
No, it's National Sheriff's Association. It's the title sponsor.
The
Yamaha team.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I don't know, but you were there. So, I mean, what was it?
Yeah, I mean, if you ever wonder like how the state of our sport is, go to Minios. I mean, I think this year, last year, both were over 5,000 entries. I mean, there's so many people. There's so much money. I mean, nowadays kids are.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Going to the races in the super mini class, racing out of a semi.
Yeah. You know,
the money there is insane.
Well, but it's crazy to think about. And I don't know how I've been away from the money's aspect of, you know, back in the day when me and Ricky, I mean, there was massive contracts, but it was kind of like, I mean, maybe the way it is now, it's still the top few get actually like paid. But now it just seems like you could make money a whole lot of different ways, especially with the internet and not these vlogging, you know, all these different things. But it seems like there's so much money in the amateur, what you were just saying, all these factory teams, you know, semis and all that. But then it hasn't really translated into like pro. They still kind of keep it as, you know, we ain't got no money on there. But then you go to the amateur races like Minios and stuff and win. And, you know, I know Freestone and other, like there's a lot of like turnout. And case in point, I mean, you just look around the pits. So it's kind of odd. But it is nice to see that actually factories like Yamaha, I mean, they're putting in a big effort in amateur stuff. But it makes it hard the day and age where you can just go, you can have Seven Gear, Fox, or whatever. Like, you kind of get what the team gives you now. So that just seems like
Cole asked me when he first got here, how'd Seven do? And I was telling him nowadays it's tough because like you were just saying, the factory teams all have gear deals and, you know, so like.
Yeah. I mean, back when Team Green was around, like you still got your own team.
You could do whatever. Deal. Yeah. I mean, the Team Green riders still can now, but they know the Team Green kids are going to go to PC. Yeah. So eventually they're going to wear what PC wears. So, it is what it is. You just got to get more creative and get kids younger, you know, in the PW class, the Cobra class.
I was telling Roger that like the amount of seven that I did see in the youth classes, like the 65s and 50s and 85s, like there was a very good amount. I would say it's one of the more prevalent companies, which, you know, I didn't really go in with any expectations, but, you know, I was pleasantly surprised to see all that.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I would almost say kind of outside looking in because, you know, this guy, he's at the races. I mean, he's the one that, you know, deals with, I mean, all riders on there. So he kind of, what he's just saying, like, it is a little bit difficult. And like, yeah, I noticed that because again, I noticed, you know, if you're on Yamaha, you're in Thor gear and, you know, certain other teams, but I think we've done a good job at like when you see seven, like there's, and maybe I'm a little biased, but it does feel like there's, it's a difference. You know what I mean? Like I do see a lot more, you know, t-shirts and then, you know, just random, you know, everyday motocross guys. Like that's not necessarily the ones out here, you know, competing, but just guys, crooms and going to local rides. Like you see, we see a lot of like seven there and now it's not, you know, and the biggest thing I wanted to do with seven was actually, it had to make sense why I was doing it. And that's when we came up with the compression stuff and, you know, the more gear kind of built for, you know, performance. They're not just like looks, but we had that too. And now you kind of seen the change and it made everybody step up, you know, so that's special to me. It's kind of like the Bubba Scrub, you know, not too many people in any kind of, you know, sport or companies that could say like, well, yeah, I've changed this and I've changed that. And it's just kind of happened naturally. But with seven, it's cool to see actual athletes, like athlete football players, you know, Lewis Hamilton, you know, there's a Porenkeen, like, you know, out riding. I mean, there's kind of everybody. And then you got the casual wear people, you know, rocking it just like you used to see, you know, Fox, you know, you, somebody that wouldn't even ride used to see a Fox, you know, logo, on the back of the truck or a hat. So, it's cool, but it definitely makes it a little bit harder to compete when you, you know, and I don't blame all these kids are trying to get on a factory deal and, you know, it's, you know, that's the way to get to the next level. And, it makes it harder for, you know, us, but I think, you know, the main thing is, you know, we're doing it the way we wanted to do it. And, you know, the company, it's known, it has a product that's a reason. It's not just a seven or it's James Stewart's company. Seven is there because of what seven does and what seven creates. And it's just kind of only the beginning for us. We got some new stuff coming out. So
what,
should be good.
What do you kind of look for when you're thinking about bringing someone onto the team? Like what are some of your things that stand out with kids that you're like, oh yeah, he's got to be a seven rider.
For me, I lean on my team, which is him, you know, Dennis, you know, Eddie, all the guys back at there. I let them make the choice. I mean, they know me, but they also like, you know, you run it past me or I'll see it. And if I have an input, like, you know, I'll say something, but you know, it's kind of hard. Like you build a company, you have an ideal, but I don't know how to run a company. I don't know how to run it, you know, day to day. Like, you know, I have a vision and, you know, I feel like any successful person, they lean on the people that they hire and bring around. So, you know, the last thing I would do is bring in people to do this and then tell them how to do that. You know, so I lean on Roger and, you know, I've been satisfied. I mean, trust me. Sometimes I'm like, dude, give me a shirt. And he's like, it's sold out. Well, I can't want to be mad at that. So, but yeah, I think we have got some good people. I think we have meetings, you know, multiple times monthly. And we go about through everything. But when it comes down to picking riders and stuff, like, I mean, he knows, you know, my level of expectation and, you know, we have the same. So, I don't really worry about that part.
It's been working out so far.
Yeah. No, it's been working out great. I mean, again, you know, seven is, it's everywhere, you know, and I think that's what it, you know, a lot of these companies and, we're not the guy that you like, oh, if you ride here, you got to wear seven. And that's the last thing I would kind of want. Like, people wear seven because they choose to wear it. And some people who can't wear, they would love to, but they can't. So, you know, I think all we have to do is keep creating like product and create, you know, driving the sport. And it's not only for seven, it's for everybody. You know, like, we do something or somebody else does something that elevates all of us. So it only benefits these guys. And that's probably why you see the amateur scene, you know, growing bigger and bigger. And now with blogs and podcasts, I mean, there's just different types of ways this, you know, market and the day and age has changed. So that's kind of fed into like who we are as a brand. So
I mean, I never thought you and I or you would be sitting in a room like this with, you know, doing a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, media this runs everything.
This is the day we live in. So
yeah, no, I mean,
here we are.
We've had, you know, meetings and stuff, and it's hard. It's nice to be able to have a group of guys that's kind of, you know, you got older guys in a company, you got younger guys, and I think we created a way to have a little bit of both, because even when I brought up the podcast to him, it was like the old mentality, like, what? Like, what are you talking about? My little neighbor down the street. Well, your little neighbor down the street got 5 million people watching and stuff, and we trying to get an ad. Like, I mean, it's just a different age. And
there's some people that are like probably 16, 17 years old doing YouTube stuff that are making so much money. Dude, and just,
dude, I know kids, no lie. What do you want to be when you grow up? A vlogger, a YouTuber. YouTuber. I mean, that's literally a YouTuber. So that tells you right there, you know, the way and the life is. I mean, everything's off your phone these days. Like, I mean, I don't, do you even have a house phone?
No, I haven't had a house phone for, I couldn't tell you.
That's the wrong person to ask.
Yeah, like, yeah, I mean,
I mean, I don't have a house phone like either, but I mean, just think about everything you do.
You don't?
No.
I would think you'd need one for like the gate or something.
No, they call myself. Yeah. I mean, and if I did, but it would just be forwarded to my cell phone.
There's got to be a landline here though.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
I think there is.
Actually, ironically, the numbers that our original phone number had 259 in it.
My hotel room, my room was 259 last night. I swear.
That's awesome. Yeah. Coming home, baby.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, everything's on the phone. So it takes a lot to, you know, to have the guys in the company not get too much away from like the roots of the sports. Because I think there's certain things you have to run a company, and that old mentality, I wouldn't even say old, but that just steady, you know, build a foundation. We like to keep our dealers involved, like, you know, just have the grassroots, but also, you know, get in the day and age of the vlogging and how promotion and how kids get stuff. You know, it takes a unique certain people and to have a team that they got just as much input in the company as I do. So, like I said, when I brought up the podcast, he didn't know. Like, I mean, he's thinking, well, shoot, and he wants to, I don't know, have a camera follow him like Bubba's World back in the day. Like, no. I mean, dude, just come on, flip a switch, boom, it's in your face. So,
I mean, podcasts too are kind of big now because you're just able to listen to them, you know, wherever, when you're driving, when you're working. It's something that's pretty easy to consume.
Yeah, and I mean, honestly, just think about how different my career would have been if I could just, all the things, like having to wait until, like, you know, Racer X or Trans Worlds, do an interview with Don or, you know, the other guys, Davey and
you
and can stuff.
Come in here, turn these lights on, turn the switch, like, on and do,
I mean,
on your own time, whatever you want.
When homeboy, my friend now, Chad Reed, knocked me down in Atlanta, like, instead of having that wildfire run, I could have just ended it like a boop, boop, boop. Yeah. Hate him. I hate him. And then just post it and it would have been done with. Like, now you know how I feel. And I think that's the cool part about what you could do now. It's instantly. And people want what they want now. And the patience has kind of gone a little bit. But yeah,
there's definitely cons to it as well as a lot of pros.
Yeah. I mean, maybe my career would have took a different way if I would have had this stuff. But I think I've always been like, I really enjoy the fans and a lot of things I did, even the way I raced, hitting the quads. I mean, there wasn't too many quads that I was doing that would be that much faster. But I used to love like hitting that stuff. And hearing the fans, they used to hype me up. So I've always been that type of person, whether we had the dinners and giving away helmets and stuff. So this would have kind of fell into my like home spot. Like I enjoy doing that. That's why I told him, like, man, we should, like, I want to do a podcast. I want to do a podcast because, you know, to have the opportunity to talk to millions of people, whoever listened to it, and tell them like what I'm thinking, when I'm thinking it, like, and it's not a interview. It's not
someone paying you to
do that. It's like, I mean, shoot, I'm pulling out my own pocket to like get this thing done. And shoot, I love it. So this also brings me back to like when I wrote, you know, Outdoors for Free, I did it for a reason. Now, but like when I was flipping down that hill in Thunder Valley, round three,
oof.
Yeah, I was like, man, I should have rethought this maybe, but
I thought you were going to go with Southwick.
Nah, that was, I was getting paid to do that one. I got paid to crash that time. Yeah. But I mean, that was kind of, I shouldn't have been out there. Like, I mean, I was so hyped to be, that was like first race I led in a minute. But in when I fell in Thunder Valley, I thought I was going to go 24-0. Just kidding. But I thought I was going to win and I should have won. But
Raj, did you
see? Camera people. See, if they were vlogging, they wouldn't have been out there.
What year was that? That was
2012, I believe it was. Yeah, 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of people know this story, but when I crashed, my last race on Yamaha, just, and this is not a knock on Yamaha by any stretch. I mean, I think now the all bikes are kind of, I wouldn't say the same, but they, you know, they kind of fit everybody. Like the Yamaha has gotten clearly a lot better. Even when I rode it, you know, for my rod day in 2017 or 18, you know, I couldn't believe how much better that bike was, you know, and it was the same. They still had the backwards motor and stuff. I think they still got it, right?
Yeah.
But so now all the bikes have gotten better. So you can ride any bike and be competitive, and there's certain ones that's a little bit better. But not a lot of people know, like when I crashed in Houston, and I got up, and like I'm kind of like rolling, like checking my body, like, oh, all right, I'm not broken. I can swing a golf club if I need to. And I got up and I sat on the hay bale, and they had it on camera. Like I sitting there and I said, I'm done racing. That was it. James Stewart retired in 2012 at Houston Supercross. And I got up and I walked off the track. I left the bike. It was mangled.
It was a long walk.
Yeah, I'm walking back. He comes up. Walking down there, and I'm like, hey, I'm done. And they're like, yeah, he crashed. I'm like, no, James Stewart's done. I ain't never racing again. Pull my mechanic aside, told him, hey, I'm just letting you know, I'm done. Like on there, I'm done. And he was like, oh yeah. No. I'm like, bro, I am done. I've crashed too many times. And if it wasn't for Mike Webb calling me and the issue that Suzuki was in looking for somebody, like I would have retired in 2012 on there, but got an opportunity, and I think it was like 3 weeks later we was riding Suzuki. So, and then a month later we were on the Outdoors. So
I remember walking back and you saying that. I'm like, all right, give him till Monday, Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We'll be fine.
Monday, I got to Monday, it solidified my reasons. Like I was sore and I couldn't believe it. Like I jumped that jump the same time, I swear I did it the same way every time, and the thing ballooned on me. I went like 3 inches too far. And I think I just passed like Jason Thomas back there. And it was right after my concussion, which was a crazy one I had. Got hit by first corner pileup at Indy. Got hit by
Wyndham.
Yeah, Wyndham. But my bike flipped over and the swing arm hit me and knocked me out. And then I missed Toronto because I broke my arm. I broke my hand. Came back, and then that happened. That's the night me and Wyndham had a good battle in the heat race.
At Houston.
Yeah. I mean, talking about Wyndham was trying to hang with the young buck.
That race.
He screwed up too hard.
That race put Wyndham out of retirement too.
Yeah, he retired that night too. There was a few people retiring.
Big night that night.
Yeah, that's why I give it up to Chad. Like I told you before we started, I talked to him a couple weeks ago. Well, actually, about a week ago when he was getting ready to head to Bercy. And we were talking about riding together and taking our kids to Disney and stuff. And that's why I'm like, man, he's going to Bercy. I told him I'm a fan. Like I'm a subscriber.
I'll watch it.
I watch it. Like I do. I watch it.
Oh, so you are a fan of the vlogs.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. I didn't know that's what you call it. I just thought like, would you call it that's what it is? A vlog?
It's like a video blog in a way. Like,
oh, what does vlog stand for?
I mean, I would assume
video. Isn't it like video?
No, blog, not vlogs, the video version of whatever blog is.
But blog used to be like you just like blog, a story, like you write
a personal website or social media account where a personal person posts short videos.
Mm.
That's so, a, is that a but, blog or a vlog?
Vlog.
Vlog, but yeah.
Okay, what's a blog with a B?
Blog.
That's just...
Bull.
Those. That's just words.
Yeah, I mean, there's...
Updated website or web page, typically one run by an individual or small group that is written in informal or conversational style. So...
Yeah. Okay. I just thought it was somebody that wrote. Blog is a new way of saying... Writer, right?
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I used to call some guy SARS, sorry as rotters. So I guess that's what blog is, right? So who does, so Hayden, I'm watching Minio's right here. So he just did the ninja crash. There's a few people that crashed crazy this week. Febra?
Well, yeah, in Paris, yeah.
Paris, and then...
Talon Hawkins also crashed at Minio's.
Oh, man, I don't miss those days. I remember last time I rode, I was out there practicing, and I actually kind of did what Fever did, like looped out, and I swear it was like 10 minutes in the air, and I was like...
Last day you rode?
Old for this. This is like 18.
You had a big one like that?
Oh, yeah. But it was like one of those ones that was like, it shouldn't have happened, but it happened. I went off and pops... We got like hidden ditches. We used to call them gator pits over here. Well, we had the grass rise up because Malcolm wasn't doing outdoors. So like nobody was really riding. And like I fell in a ditch, dude. And I fell off and looped out. Just straight out looped out. But the way I hit it, it was like Fever, like went up in the air. And I'm like, I'm too old for this. This is why I don't ride. I had a black, well, I always got black eyes, but it was blacker than Wesley Snipes type black. And yeah, so I was done, actually.
Well, he was probably thinking the same thing because he probably wasn't expecting to get hurt at that race with knocking the whoops down.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably what he was thinking was going to take him out.
Dude, I mean, who's that guy?
That's Talon Hawkins. He did like a full 360 little helicopter move.
Yeah, but like that crash right there is, that's a racing crash. Like, you know, I mean, that's kind of the way I look at Southwick. We race, we just talking about 16 out front, yeah. Like freaking wide open. It looked like a... like Keith, oh, what's the guy that used to pull all that? Kyle Lewis, hole shot, and I'm gonna like lead us, or sorry, hole shot, and I'm leading the main event. That's how I felt that race. I'm like, I should not be winning. Philo and those guys, I don't know when they're gonna catch up and pass me, but they probably will. And I had like a 10 second lead gone, wide open, stuck in first gear, and that thing swapped out on me. I knew I shouldn't have clicked that thing. We should have went slower on the rebound, not faster, but whatever. But yeah, that's a normal crash. I wouldn't even be mad at that one. Even Deegan's, that's, I mean, besides the Superman aspect, you feel though. But yeah, Fevra.
Did you play Fevra's?
Or about to. Whew.
Yeah, that's just tough. Tib fib, huh?
That's what they said, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My fans know, which race does this look like?
Oh.
Ooh, yeah. Damn, man, you got to learn to like use those legs as like suspension.
Oh, he tried.
Yeah, I mean.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Like I said, it's kind of like those wild out Willie dudes. You can see them. They're 40, 50 wide open down the street, wheeling for miles, no hands, doing this stuff that, I mean, I don't even know any professional supercross rider can do. You put them on a supercross track and they look like that out there. And the same thing with these GP guys. Like, he wouldn't have crashed like that in the outdoor race, like on there. Like, but I think, like, they're used to having it like that kid that we just saw, like the swap out, maybe doing the 360s, but they're not in the airs like supercross timing. And as good as they are, which I would take them, a couple of those guys, if you put A and A against Tomac, Ferrandis, and those guys when they're on, like, and at motocross race, I mean, yeah, I would probably pick the GPs guys. They're that good. But in supercross, I mean, you see it. Look at this guy. He's starting right here. That's what you get on there. And it's crazy to think, like, how good they are. But when it comes to one, like, supercross, and this is, it's like an arena cross track with the jumps, and they struggle.
Have you talked to Chad since this race or no?
No, I haven't talked to him. He's probably sore.
Did you watch any of it?
No, I mean, this is the first time I'm seeing it. I thought it was next week. Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely weird not being there this past weekend. Mm. You know, we've been to everyone since, I can't even remember, but.
Yeah, like I said before, man.
Your last one was 15.
I know, I was watching that one actually the other day.
When the terrorist attack happened.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got.
Wow. There's always something happening in the world.
Yeah.
Always.
That night, it was funny. We were, me and Malcolm were in the hotel room. It was late at night, and people from the U.S. were texting us saying, are you all right?
Yeah, like, I remember that.
What are
you
talking about? Like, we're in the hotel room, like watching a movie or something. Like, we didn't even know what was going on.
I mean, I had the leg off. We thought they were going to cancel the race. I wish they would, because it would save me some pain. Yeah, it was crazy, because I used to use these races as, like, warm-up. Probably the same reason Marv is running. And at that time, I was supercross only. So I didn't ride from race until, May to basically January. And we do the U.S. Open and we did like Paris. That was the two off-season races that we did. And I did 18 gate drops, man. 18 gate drops in 3 days over there.
This year they only did it, I think they did it like Saturday afternoon.
I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. Maybe we have to cut this one out, but I felt like a slave over there, bro. They used to run me like no other. I felt like Django. It was tough. I enjoyed, like, opening ceremonies was awesome. The fans were awesome. People were great. But goddamn, did they want some James Stewart and riding them three lap races. And I was so tired.
And Super pole,
you know, no pole, this pole, rainbow pole, like, you know, strip pole, all poles.
The booba pole.
Booba pole. And man, like, you had to win every single one. And the year Brayton won, I won everything. Missed one race. And I was like the servant. I was servant of Bercy. Yeah. No, I didn't miss one. I missed the main event. Yeah, I won everything. He went 30 damn races. I missed one. And yeah, I don't even know. I think I got like third. Maybe I didn't even make the podium.
It was
used to hate racing Brayton over there. I thought I had it all day. I was gonna race like, you know, super hot, whatever. These guys, and showing up there, Justin, and he's good in whoops. So homeboy can ride through the whoops.
Oh, and he's good there too.
Yeah, and he's good. He's like the modern day Larry Ward, man. Yeah. And give the guy credit. He used to show up every time. Hated that type. Just always there. Anyways, yeah, he got it. So yeah. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. We got to see the Eiffel Tower. We got to see the Force. Our boy Sorby. Sorby was a good host, I would say.
Sorby texted me yesterday, actually.
Yeah, I talked to him a couple weeks ago. He's got a kid now, dude. Yeah.
Yep.
God. Yeah. I thought he left America because he was like being chased. Yeah, he just disappeared one day. And he's over in Europe. But yeah, it's cool. You know, I talked to Mike Alessi the other day.
Really?
Yeah, I do. I talk to people that, like, you would never think. Yeah, I mean, you show me pictures. His kid. They're having another one.
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah, it's cool, man. It's cool to have. It's like everybody that, like, wouldn't even say retire because he's still racing. He had that crazy crash the other day. That's why I don't ride. Like,
oh, you saw that crash?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, I see it most of.
I felt bad for Mike because everyone gives him a hard time, but that wasn't his fault. Like, there was nothing he could do.
Yeah, the people that give him a hard time are the people that don't ride or the people that would have been on the bad side of that crash.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I think it is. And so I was watching the Canadian series, last year. The guy, I watch it all, baby.
I love that you watch the Canadian
series. I watch it all, man. I'm a fan of all that. The whole shot. That's what those guys, they kind of backed it down a little bit. But yeah, it's crazy to, it's nice to be able to watch YouTube and all that. You get everything. You get old school racing this year. So yeah, I mean, it comes down to, yeah, all the stuff. You just sit at your house on your phone, and watch it. So yeah, I thought this year was interesting. You know, the Supercross season, outdoor season, the guys with Ferrandis winning and Cooper, you know, with Eli kind of having, you know, a tougher year than I think most would have expected. And, you know, I think it's going to be cool to, you know, watch what happens this year. I think a lot of people is going to have, you know, step up. My personal opinion, we'll get in that to the next episode where, you know, predictions for moving 2022. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how Cooper, you know, he's probably the one guy that I'm like, how he's going to do. And, you know, I think a lot of people, Ferrandis winning outdoors, see how he does in Supercross. I don't know if a lot of people got him picking to win the Supercross title, but Eli on the Yamaha, Malcolm on this new program with Eldon, Marv. I don't know. Maybe my boy Reed's coming back. Who knows?
Show up for a couple. I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah, he did say he wanted to ride Daytona, which is an odd one. Why? But why? Yeah. Yeah, I've never figured out how he
wants to race Daytona.
Well, yeah, but I don't have his mindset. He's in a mindset where he actually enjoyed racing. And, you know, maybe how it was when I was riding around in 10th at Washougal with blisters on my hands, like pissed off that Benny Bloss is just railing me. I thought he was a lap rider. He was so far in front.
He wasn't.
You know, yeah, not to get caught up on that, but yeah, I was battling. First off, I didn't think I was in 10th place until he told me I was in 10th place. I thought he was wrong. Thought maybe like 10 minutes left, something. And I was battling those guys, and Benny Bloss goes, shoo, shoo, shoo. I'm like, all right, like, damn, man, he must be a lapper or something. I should have known better, a lapper pulling away from me, but whatever. Big old strangly dude out there doing his thing. But yeah, Reese done figured out a way to enjoy that, which I never did. That's why I stopped racing. But yeah, again, back on the subject, I think it's going to be interesting to see what these guys going to do this year. And especially, like, you know, with Roczen, you know, some of the rookies having second year going into it. I think it's going to be a pretty open field. And I think first probably 2-3 races, definitely the West Coast side of things, somebody's going to have to step up and take control of it. Otherwise, it's going to be an open season.
Well, I'll save my picks for the next
one. I'm interested to see. I think you probably got some.
Well, I know they're going to be different than that because you've already kind of said what.
Yeah.
I know a little bit what you're thinking. So they're a little different.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun. We're going to have some fun with this podcast this year. But yeah, I mean, it almost kind of feels like, you know, with Ken, I just feel like last year and a few other people said it, like his best opportunity to win a championship. And I feel that way, but then at the same time, I don't, because I think like this might have been the moment where now I don't know if as many people is putting him up as he's a favorite or possibly a favorite. So it might help him because it definitely seems like
not as much pressure.
Yeah. I mean, it never seemed like when he had to do it, he was able to do it on there. But he was always there, you know what I mean? But when he just had some odd races. And I think for him, like, I think having the kid and stuff, like, he talked about how, I know how it made me feel. There's just so many other things in life that's more important than that part. But when you're still racing, it's got to be just as important, if not the most important thing. But maybe just not being the Ken Roczen, the guy that Honda and all those guys expect. Because I know they probably expect some of the other guys to come up and probably, you know, take him on and
step up.
Yeah, be the lead rider. So it'd be interesting to see how he does this year. Again, I think with Cooper, you know, I mean, he won because of mentality. He won because he was the strongest person mentally, and everybody else knew it. I think this year with Ferrandis, I think he's going to have him and Cooper is, I would say, the strongest guys in the field. I don't know Ferrandis personally, but just looking on the track, I can see a lot of things that he does that just shows he's strong mentally. And I don't think a lot of things are going to change with the other guys who may be struggling in that department. So, yeah, 2020-21 was the year of, I wouldn't say unpredictability, but I definitely think it was the year of certain guys just knew they were mentally stronger, not faster, but just stronger. Hey, pretty guy right there, stronger than other guys. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. And it's going to be fun to break down some of this stuff and talk about it. And again, hear your points, because you go to races, I just sit there and vlog it. Or what would you call the person that watch vlogs?
A subscriber.
There you go, subscriber.
Yeah,
subscriber.
So I'll be home subscribing.
Yeah, you're at home subscribing.
Yeah, it's like I'm getting a new, you know, cell phone. I'm sign up for 2 years.
Yeah, do we
years.
Have to do that? Like, we need subscribers, and
we need some like,
where you did the. Yeah, smash the button, and do we do that?
Is that gonna be mean? Like, yeah, like, don't subscribe. Hey, this is my pick. Don't forget to hit the button right here. Subscribe. Yeah, that's gonna be fun. We need you though.
That's the world we're living in now. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
If not, the Cole. What's your last name again?
Beach.
Just that like guy. He ain't gonna be here because we ain't got enough subscribers. I can't pay the guy.
So like, subscribe, yeah,
like. Subscribe, thumbs up. Don't forget to like us.
Yeah, comment. You can comment.
Yeah,
throw that. I'm sure, we're gonna get some good comments.
Yeah, we're gonna have to. Yeah, we're gonna make some 7 shirts that say subscribe. Boom. Yeah, that's what it is. Send it.
Subscribe.
I always think from when we did the recaps, those we should have made, or you guys should have made shirts that said neck burn or something along that. Like, that's just that would have been so awesome to see at the races.
Yeah. No, I mean, maybe. We have to get some neck burns. There's definitely going to be the neck burner of the week or whatever.
The Stewable t-shirt, it does.
Yeah, Stewable.
Yeah.
People do like that one.
But it's funny because you think like, all right, it's James Stewart's company, 7, Stewable. No, I mean, we thought like, man, is that Stewable? Like other guys, Stu would hit that. Send it. Like it was the same thing. Like, yeah. What made you jump it, man? I came around. I just sent it. Like, I don't know. So,
well, even Daytona this year. That
who sent it
that before you showed up, like track walk, I don't think you were there yet, but like Johnny O and a couple other guys were like, oh, track walk, yeah, like, oh, James, we're here, he sent that
jump. Yeah. Yeah, homeboy definitely sent it. Yeah, I mean, it was funny because it obviously wasn't distance, it was just the fear of getting over it. But yeah, Johnny, we were sitting in the semi. That was
which one?
That was Chase when he jumped that big old wall jump and over the thing. It would have been easier just to jump to the tabletop, but we sat there and we told him, like, look, bro, nobody's saying you do it. You know, there, like, I want to do it. Johnny didn't help. He was like, oh, Stu would hit it. Stu's right here.
He did say that.
Yeah, and I'm like, one thing I ain't going to do, I ain't going to lie to him. I probably would have hit it on there. And I told him, bro, if you're going to go up to it, don't jump straight up and down. Don't go up and just go straight up and down. Like, it's going to be a momentum thing. Get your momentum in there and just kind of not what? And they jumped it straight up and down. And in the air, I'm like, all I could think was Kehoe and myself. I'm like, what is this kid doing? And I'm thinking all this, and he's still in the air going up. And then he landed down there, and I was just like, what are you doing? But yeah, then I got to blame for it somehow.
Yeah, that night we're walking out of the stadium, and I'm like, did you tell him to do that? And he's like, yeah, but I didn't tell him to do it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even tell him to do a period on there. But if my riders, they come to me and ask me how to do something, tell them how to do it on there. I don't think you need to. I don't suggest that you should do it, but he's like, I'm going to do it. I'm doing it. So I tried to help him out as much as I could. Yeah, he forgot.
Had to impress you. He had to, you know, he knew you were watching.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it definitely, you know, I guess me and pressure, and it's still nice to come to races and the fans and the love that I get, and some people can handle it, some people can't. But yeah, I was there to do a job, you know, work with him, and you know, last thing he should be doing is trying to impress me, because you know that's what we do during the week. You know, we impress me by the motos and stuff that we work on during the week, and jumping that. I already told him, like, I even told him before he did it, I'm like, if you do it, it's not going to impress me. Like, I mean, because I would do it on there. Like, do something I wouldn't do. Well, he kind of, I guess he did impress me. Because he overjumped it over there, and he, like, rode off, but he was, like, messed up. And the funny thing is, like, I guess not too funny, but he, like, busted his face up, and then he crashed that, I think it was Houston.
Yeah, too.
And did it again.
Yeah.
We come over, and we do our weekly, like, study videos and stuff, and, you know, he comes in, and my kid, you know, kids don't lie. My kid's staring at him. His grill is jacked up. And he goes, well, what's wrong with your face? And it was like, I'm like, yeah. I mean, it was like messed up. And I know a part of him loved that we were in COVID too, because he can wear masks. But it was so bad. And like, dude, like he put his mask back on, because my kid was like staring at him as he walked. And he's like, Dada.
He was
like,
pretty jacked up.
Yeah. But I was like, yeah, son, Chase got effed up this week. I messed up. And so like, he'd be like, hey, how did he get messed up this weekend? It was like every week. He was like, did he get messed up? I'm like, no, he's all right. But yeah, it was funny. He just stared at him, and we did our studying, but it was tough. Yeah, it was bad. But yeah, it was, he's him. And then again, it's just going to be a interesting season. And yeah, I can't
look. What'd you think of the way the GP season ended with Erlings winning that?
Yeah, I thought, like, you know, obviously if it came down to the last race, I felt like Erlings was probably the most consistent and the fastest guy out of everybody. Geyser, I don't know. After his injury, he had like one other race that he was like good, but then he just kind of, he's like the third pace guy. And I think Fevre like got going because of like confidence, but he wasn't the fastest guy. It wasn't like Erlings. Like if Erlings got on a roll, he would come up kind of like Tomac, you know, when he gets in the zone, like, you know, he just ride right past. And Erlings kind of felt that way. And I knew if it came down to the last race, which it did, I just thought like Erlings, you know, Erlings would do what he did. And so I thought it was good. I think Erlings obviously crashing made it closer than what it was. And I think he raced until the last race of, if he finishes the season, he's overall going to be the fastest guy. And there was a time in there where Geyser actually started winning a lot of races. And I think it made Erlings kind of throw that, you know, approach out. Because if you think about the last couple of years, like Erlings got hurt. You know, he's the fastest guy. He's always, and he got hurt. And so if he just felt like he just finished the season. So I think he was kind of stuck in that mentality. And when it came down to the last race, it was like, look, you either show up and you beat this guy, you got to win, or it's over with. And obviously he won both motos, or he won the first moto and got second one. But I felt like coming into last race, he was going to win that unless something happened. And
I think it was a perfect end. That's how it should have ended. I think he was the guy.
Yeah. And if you look at like bike setups, if you notice like those guys, compared to the way they set their bike up for outdoor tracks compared to our guys, if you notice, like we used to say it in there, like you want to see the suspension and wheels moving a lot, but you don't want to see the seat moving, you know, like you don't want to see the bike going up and down. You just want to see the thing doing this. And that's kind of how they set their bike up. And the difference between, you know, the Kawasaki is more like the KTM, like outside looking in, the length of it, it being really, you know, stable, I think actually helped, you know, Erlings and Fevre, where I think it actually Geyser, he struggled with it because his bike a lot of times looked twitchy. You know, he would be going down and charging a certain section. You would see him getting a super gnarly like knife, you know? And I think for sure he wouldn't say he lost races, but for sure like last couple of races, the KTM and the Kawasaki looked like an overall better bike, easier to ride around the track. suspension and setup wise compared to Geyser. And it always seemed like Geyser, he could be fast, but it never looked like his bike was stable. It was just looked like, you know, he was, you know, he was kind of like twitchy, you know what I mean? And I think the Honda's always been kind of that. It seems like it's better on, you know, tighter tracks and stuff. And, you know, that GP and stuff, it watching him outside, Fever definitely got his setup good. And Herlings, their bikes just look like it's a little bit easier to ride. So even that last race, you can just see Geyser, you know, close in and then a big old swap. And then, you know, things happen and the KTM just looked longer. And, you know, but it was good. It was good. You know, I enjoy watching those again. I watched the Canadian stuff. I watched British motocross. I like it all, baby. Like, I really like it all, man. YouTube, you can find a lot of stuff on there. Yeah. Yeah.
I like that it just shows up. Like, yeah. It knows, like, what you got into. Then it'll just, yeah. I guess that's why Canadian nationals show up, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you hit mine, dude. It's all, like, you know, from 2014, Toronto to Canadian to, you know, British. That's the one thing with YouTube. Like, if you got your own channel, like, you better hit, you know, Clear to Coochie or whatever that cliche. Otherwise, you're going to have some suggestions that hopefully you don't mind getting shown. So
it's been good. That's right.
Yeah. So for sure, I think it's going to be good. This whole vlogging, YouTube podcast, I hope everybody kind of enjoys this. I know, you know, this first one probably feels like maybe it's a little harder, but they'll definitely get some, they'll get better and get some fun stuff once we get the racing, get our picks in.
And I think we'll have some maybe different guests to show up. I've talked to a couple different people in my travels and, you know, kind of confirmed a couple guys that maybe haven't been on some other podcasts or.
Yeah. And I mean, like I said before, I mean, when I brought it up, everybody talks about, you know, we talk about the races. We talk about what's going on in life. I mean, every news channel, Fox, CBS, all those things. They talk about the subject stuff, news that goes on. But everybody has their favorite one. They want to listen and hear that news. So hopefully, you know, even though we talk about the same thing, that, you know, there's certain ones that you want to hear from us. Neck burns, whatever it is, you know, Stewable, whatever. Or you go listen to this. And as we get going, it's, for me, it's nice to be able to use my knowledge from racing in old past stories and be able to even talk to other riders. Like I said, like I talked to Alessi and talked to Chad, and now just being in this age and kids and all that, you just got a different aspect of life. I've been there, done that. I feel it. And I've also became a fan too. So I see it from different sides. I became a trainer, a coach. So it's nice to be able to, when I see races, I don't see it from one side. I see it from all different ways. And, you know, so that's what we're going to talk about. And again, have some fun. And I wanted you, because obviously you've been there with me this whole time. And I think, like, you go to all the races and, you know, Cole, he goes to the races too. So I think we're going to have some fun doing this thing. So hopefully you guys enjoy this and we'll continue doing it. Hopefully, what, weekly, monthly? It's going
to
be
start out monthly just to, well, he's claiming he wants to do it every week, but, like, let's say, be realistic.
Yeah, so once, if you hit those likes and, you know, subscribe up to us, the more you subscribe, the more we'll be doing this stuff. So
that is
so
true.
We'll leave that it at true. That. So the fans, you just kind of let us know. Watch. I mean, if it's not right, I'll be like, that thing's broken. We took it off. Like the comments. Now you can take the comments off Instagram, you know, like, you ain't got to listen to it. So, yeah, I think
we'll block those.
Yeah. But no, it's real. Some of the stuff you're going to like, some of you ain't. But, you know me, keep it 100 and we'll have some good times with it. So 100% and
next month, his top 10 predictions. Yeah. Our top 10 predictions.
Top 10 predictions. We got to do both classes. You know, I guess all three of them.
Oh, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Well, what else we got to do?
That's a long show.
Well, it's a blog. A vlog, whatever it is. Yeah, so we're going to do top 10 predictions. And, you know, hopefully everybody gets into season healthy, safe, enjoy Christmas. I always used to hate Christmas because I knew the next week it was Anaheim 1. So I know what these guys going to. As much as you like having the family around, it brings back memories. So now I get to eat cake, pies, and all that stuff and not have to worry about it because I'm a vlogger now. But yeah, we'll get through it. So everybody have a good Christmas. hopefully you had a good Thanksgiving, and we'll see you with our prediction.
See you next month.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.